This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 63, with co-founder of Podcast Teachers and host of the Copy That Pops podcast, Laura Peterson.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Angles of Latitude podcast. My name is JC Preston, founder of New Inception. So glad you could join me today. In case this is the first time that you've listened to the show, this podcast is all about talking with entrepreneurs, experts, and artists about the work that they love doing and how they've gotten to where they're at by doing it. And every Thursday, we publish another casual and informative conversation that we at New Inception's hopes will inspire you to find your own personal freedom in doing work you love around a lifestyle you've designed. This particular session is powered once again by the traveler's mindset. Do you find yourself wanting to travel abroad but not quite sure where to start? You know, you keep thinking of that one of these days you're going to be taking off and, you know, just going. Well, I had that same feeling back in college myself, but one thing kept me from going, and that was thinking that traveling was going to be costing me a fortune. Well, truth be told, there might be a little bit of truth to that, depending on what you're wanting to do. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And you know, the thing was that this was just a misconception that I had that really didn't have much of a premise. It just, again, was thinking that I was going to, you know, stay at resorts or something like that, which is going to be costing you expensive. But if you do it other ways, then it wouldn't be so bad. So what kind of misconceptions or questions are holding you back from traveling? That's the question I got to ask you. You know, what if you could take a course on traveling abroad that would not only answer many of the questions you have about going, but will also free you from some of your mental blocks like I had? That course is the Traveler's Mindset Travel Savvy e-course. And it answers all kinds of questions. You know, what to do when you get there, how to choose where to stay, even what to do when things go wrong. And, you know, these are all valid concerns that many people who have never traveled abroad have. And at less than $150, this course is, well, in my book, definitely a steal. You know, it could potentially save you hundreds, if not more, by making sure you don't make the beginner traveler mistakes. If this sounds like something you might be interested in, you can check it out at newinceptions.com/travel savvy. And again, that URL is newinceptions.com/travelsavvy. All right. So in this particular session, I had the chance to chat with Laura Peterson. Besides being a world traveler herself, Laura is one of the podcast teachers and has her own show over at Copy That Pops. You know, if you want to get your message out there, there's plenty of ways to do it. You know, podcasting is just one of those methods, and videos are another. And of course, there's SEO-friendly writing, too, because Google still loves, you know, words. So, you know, it just depends on what you want your audience to be. In this session, Laura and I have the chance to talk about her experience as a podcaster and just how relatively easy it can be to get started. We also discuss what she's been able to learn from her past businesses that have both succeeded and failed, and we also dabble a bit in mindset, including how to free yourself of believing that money is hard to come by. As usual, show notes are available at newinceptions.com/63, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm your host today, JC, and today I have a really cool guest that I think you're all going to enjoy. Laura Peterson is the founder of podcastteachers.com and also Copy That Pops, and she's also the host of under the same name as Copy That Pops, and she's basically Podcast Teachers more or less came from the fact that other people wanted to know what she was doing. And so she's made that. But through her work, she helps people make, you know, their own podcasts, their own copy for their websites, for their businesses. And like me, she also has a need to help people live better lives as a whole. And like many of our guests, Laura is an example of someone that works remotely if she desires to. And actually, in the past year, found herself exploring Germany with her husband. And on top of that, I mean, she's been like the 37 different countries while being a solopreneur, which is pretty crazy. So as you can probably tell, there's she's a great example of someone that's living a life that she's planned out, and definitely is not living what, you know, society has put on the menu. So Laura, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you and get to know your audience.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they're gonna love you as much as the other travelers that we've had. So, you cool. Actually spent the last year in Europe, and yes. nine of the months there were actually in Germany. Where else did you go, and why did you specifically focus in Germany?
Good question. So, my husband and I, we realized that we just needed an adventure abroad. And kind of a break for my husband more so, because I've been an entrepreneur for 5 years, but my husband is not. That's not his thing. And he was feeling really burned out in his job. And so we thought, we don't have kids yet. Now's the time. I can work from anywhere in the world. You can take a bit of a break and try some new things and just put your feelers out there and figure out again what really makes you excited and where's your passion. And so we decided to go to Europe, and then biggest reason was he's actually half German, but didn't grow up speaking it. Unfortunately, the doctors told his parents it'll confuse him to speak multiple languages. It's so, so sad. And so he doesn't speak German, but he's half German. And then completely coincidentally, I studied German in high school and college and actually lived a year in Germany when I was a junior at UCLA. I lived 1 year abroad back then as well. Mm-hmm. So we both had these ties to Germany and wanted to improve our language, both of us. So we started out in Prague. So we went to Prague in the Czech Republic for 1 month or about 5 weeks. We did a teaching English as a foreign language course because my background's in teaching originally, and I thought that maybe that would be a great path for him because then he could teach anywhere in the world and we could travel. And he was open to trying it out. So that's where we were for the first month. And then we settled in Germany for about 9 months. And there was a lot of snow and it was gorgeous. But we realized, all right, we don't want to do this snow thing again. I'm from Southern California, so I can't do snow for too long. And once the weather got better in the summertime, we decided to kind of hop around. So we went to Croatia over my birthday. We spent 5 weeks in Italy, and then we rounded out the trip with a couple weeks in Ireland.
Wow. Croatia seems like a place that a lot of people are going. I think recently talked to someone about the fact that they had gone, and I knew two other people that had been there before, and it's just like, okay, so this is certainly a place now. Okay, cool.
For sure. It's gorgeous. It's got Roman ruins that are just incredible, and then there's this national park, and I'm going to say the name wrong, but it's like Lake Plitvice, something like that. Yeah. I'm so sorry for anyone who knows how to speak Croatian, but it has the most waterfalls in one place I've ever seen in my entire life. It was incredible.
Wow. Wow. And I think one of the folks that had been there actually posted some pictures from there. So yeah, it definitely looks like a place to check out. But so you studied abroad in when you were in college. I mean, was that always something that you saw yourself doing, was getting out of the U.S. and going abroad, or where did that come from?
It wasn't really. You know, my birth parents, both of them, I don't think they had ever left the country until I was in my mid to late 20s, and now I just turned 35 fairly recently. So we weren't big international travelers, at least that wasn't around me, but when I was 18 and I just graduated high school, somehow four girlfriends and I convinced all of our parents to let us go on a 3-week trip in Europe from London to Athens in 3 weeks. Mm. It was a whirlwind tour and it was organized. So it wasn't like just us by ourselves. And mm-hmm. we had just an absolute ball. And I had no idea just what it was like to have so many different cultures and languages and food things all just so close to each other. It was just an amazing experience. So I think that kind of put the real bug in my ear or whatever, however you say it. Mm-hmm. So when I went to college, I had already been studying German in high school and I wanted to be fluent in a foreign language. And I knew that just taking courses here in the US wasn't going to be enough. Right. So I just, I just decided to do it. I didn't know anyone else who did. So I don't even really know what got into me, but I just wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the, in fact, Ginger, who was actually on our, she was co-hosting with me on our last podcast, you know, she, her business is, you know, she helps people, she coaches people to travel and she's a traveling coach. And I mean, that's her entire thing. And one of the things that, you know, she always, I don't want to say harps on, but basically, you know, you're going to go out living your life one way or another. One is kind of closed. You always have the same way of living life day to day to day to day and very habitual. Whereas, you know, in her TEDx talk, she talks about how, you know, if you go out living life like you're a traveler, you're going to learn a lot more new things. Right. And you're just going to, you know, your creative like genius comes out more and all these different things. And I guess for our audience, I mean, what are some of the things that you've, you know, learned mm-hmm. during your travels? I mean, do you have any great stories or anything like that? Or
I do have a lot of stories. That's such a good question. Well, one thing really fast that I would say right comes to mind when you ask me that about what I've learned is that we people are a lot more similar than the news makes us think that we are. And there are some principles. I'm a psychology teacher also to add to that. There are some principles around psychology about our human brains that is inescapable. But if we recognize it, we can not let it affect us negatively so much. So one thing, for example, is we have what's called an in-group bias. So people that we consider to be inside of our same group, we tend to give them the benefit of the doubt, see them as more smart, see them as more capable and attractive. People we see outside of the group, and that could be race, or that could be not even race. It doesn't have to be that. It could be borders or even inside your classroom. Like, this is my class, that's your class. So people that we see outside of our group, we tend to be more harsh, think that they're evil or out to get us if they do something that we don't like or agree with, whereas we wouldn't think that way if someone inside our group did the exact same thing.
Right.
So I think that travel allows people to see that there isn't a United States of America and everyone else. We are all really one people, and people are very friendly and for the most part not out to hurt you, not out to scam you. And so I think by really traveling, it just makes you see that some of these false boundaries that are being created are not real. And I think that it just makes your life more rich. It makes you more empathetic and understanding. It makes you even understand your own culture and your own biases more by seeing other people doing it differently. Mm-hmm. So I just can't speak more highly of doing it.
That's awesome. You know, another one of my co-hosts, another one of my co-hosts, Clay Green, he honestly just started like either this week or even today, because he was just doing a Facebook Live an hour or so ago, of he bought himself a big Chevy, like, I don't know, truck. I don't know exactly what the model was, but he also got himself this huge trailer to pull behind it. And him and his girlfriend are leaving Portland and traveling around the U.S. in this thing. I mean, this thing is like a $75,000, you know, might as well make it an apartment on wheels sort of thing. And, you know, they're going across country, and he's still going to be able to practice his coaching in it. You know, he's still going to be able to write. He's still going to be able to do all this stuff, which, you know, 10 years ago, we would not be able to do, right? And right. What's really right. cool is that not only can you do it, you know, if you don't feel comfortable for whatever the world, you know, all the problems mm-hmm. that the world's giving to going abroad, you can still do it here in the States.
For sure.
And, don't, you know, for those of you who are listening, don't limit yourself to, well, I can't do what she's doing because right. of so-and-so. Well, if you're already in a part of the world where you're familiar with, but there are some places that you'd still mm-hmm. like to see, just go see them. And, you know, you can still essentially, you know, get the same feeling, right?
For sure. And another thing I would add to that, you're 100% right. You know, each state is very different. So go and explore. It's going to do have the same benefits. And I would say that if you're kind of maybe in your first stages of going outside the country, I would really recommend going to other English-speaking countries because then you don't have the language barrier mm-hmm. to also overcome. So go to England, Australia, New Zealand. You're going to have such amazing experiences and have no trouble with the language. And their cultures also tend to be a bit more similar to ours than other ones that aren't English-speaking. Right. So it's kind of like a nice tester, like, you know, yeah. put your foot in the water and start trying it.
Or you can go cold turkey like my past guest Drew did. He just went straight to Japan, like right yeah. out of college, and is just like, okay, you know, yeah. whatever. But it's
it's such a humbling and growing experience. It really, really is.
Yeah, for sure. So kind of going back a little bit further here, when you were 21, you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really in the solopreneur world, that's almost required reading because that's like the one book that like dislodges so many people from, you yeah. know, seeing what society again puts on the menu for us to being like, well, this is how the wealthy do it. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you remember the actual feeling or feelings you felt when you finished the last page?
Yeah, I do. So a lot of entrepreneurs that are really successful out there, their stories are like, I was selling lemonade from 5 years old. I was born to be an entrepreneur. I have a different story. So I was a big nerd in school. I loved math and I liked writing and I, you know, took every academic course I could. And I don't know, that was my recipe for success. I figured that's, you know, where I get validation, I feel smart, I feel successful. It's what my parents couldn't or didn't do. So it was something they always told me I should do. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, the recipe for lifetime happiness. And there was a combination of, I had just returned from my year abroad in Germany, which was hugely life-altering experience. I literally just got back and my dad gave me the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he said to me, I'm too old. Old dogs can't learn new tricks, but this book is good. You should read it. Mm. And he had also given it to my brother, who was like, oh, I don't care. I can do that. And I was like, okay, I'll read it. And the feeling that I felt, it opened a world to me that I had never even considered. Mm-hmm. All I thought was get good grades, go to the best college you possibly can, get the best job you possibly can, and you're set. Mm-hmm. And save every penny you've got. Because money is hard to make. That was like, those were the stories that I had in my head.
Right, right.
So reading that, I realized, oh, so a job, I'm trading my time for money, but I have a limited amount of time and that is, and how much money I can get is controlled by this other entity outside of myself. So it's actually far smarter to create businesses that create money, even if you're not working in them anymore once you get them set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then also do other investments like real estate or the stock market or whatever, and really let your money be leveraged. And that was the first time I had ever come across that and seen it so plainly written and clear. So I remember, I think I probably just looked up and was like, my whole life has been a lie. No, not in like a negative way, but I was just like, wow, this completely changes my whole paradigm. And it really did change the course of my life. Germany plus that.
Yeah. Wow.
And my parents as well, because I went right back to my dad and I was like, you're not too old. You can learn new tricks. Let's do this. And he also ended up jumping on board too.
So, I mean, how quickly did it take for you to start realizing that you truly was capable of doing your own thing? Because it sounded, I mean, was this Did you read this when you were in college? Had already graduated, or I mean?
Yeah, so I had just gotten back from my junior year, so I had one more year of college to finish up the degree, and so I read it. So I think I got back at the very end of July, and I must have read it like mid-August. And to put this in perspective, this was 2002. And the world was also very different as well, because 9/11 happened while I was in Germany. So my parents actually walked me up to the plane door when I left. And on the way back, they tore apart my entire bag to check. And there were like crazy lines and extra security. It was very different. So even just that was kind of a pivotal time in the world. So I had one more year, and I ended up graduating a little bit early in 2003, and I reached out to the real estate agent that my parents had used when I was 12, and they moved into the house that they're in now, because she was a really nice lady, and I was like, I'm fascinated by real estate now. Could I be your assistant? So I actually graduated in 2003 a little bit early, studied for the real estate exam, and went and started working for her because I was just so fascinated by real estate all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, because that's how Robert made all of his income. But about the actually same time as, you know, I just recently turned 35 myself, and and you're one of those few that actually got out relatively quickly, as opposed to my 9 year stints in there, because I thought I was going to be a professor, because I always knew I wanted to teach. So I was just like, I really don't care how long it takes me to be good through college, because I know I'm going to be here the rest of my life anyway. And that's part of the reason why it took me 9.5 years. But
well, my story isn't over there, because I tried some businesses. I moved to Arizona. So I was I went to school in L.A., was from Orange County. And I ended up moving to Arizona because the real estate is cheaper there. And it's just also a little bit different, because I felt like I had been in Southern California my whole life, except for that year in Germany. I wanted another change, even if it's just one state over. So in Arizona, I tried a couple different businesses. They didn't work. Tried, you know, partnerships with other people. They didn't work. And I didn't know what to do. And I realized, like, I guess I just don't have enough tools and abilities quite yet to put it together. So I applied to graduate school, and I got into PhD programs around the country. And right at the exact same time, a friend of mine was like, hey, if you work for University of Phoenix, you can get your master's degree for free.
Yep.
And I thought, all right, if I stay here in Arizona, I can get a master's for free. The money I make, I can take and buy a house. Yes, let's do that.
Right.
So I actually did my master's in education, and I ended up teaching high school math and psychology for about 5 years. And then after that is when I finally took the leap, and I was like, that's it. I still have this burning desire. I have to start a business. I have to figure it out. And that's when I took my leap. And that was about five and a half years ago from today.
Gotcha. So what were some of the kind of the struggles that you had to deal with when, you know, you first started that first one, when you made the leap?
Okay. So, well, the one that actually finally worked.
Yeah. Well, is that the one that actually worked then? Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you're going to have those initial struggles.
Yeah.
But then eventually you actually catch speed and then take off. Right. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. So the one that finally worked is a tutoring and test prep company, and it's still in existence today. And I've got a team that runs it. And some initial struggles, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Of getting that one together?
Yeah.
So for me, I think I've always, so I'm a teacher. That's sort of my comfort zone. I don't have the experience or the confidence, and I certainly have more now than I did 5 years ago, in terms of sales. So the idea of asking someone for money felt very scary and very foreign, and I had a lot of that imposter syndrome where it's like, I know what I'm giving you is valuable, but you can't give me money for that, because money's even more valuable. Because, you know, I also have these stories of like, money's hard, hold on to it. Because, you know, my family didn't have a ton of money growing up. So I felt like, and they were very responsible, so they didn't have crazy credit card debt, but they just save every penny.
Yeah.
So that was sort of my mentality too, of like, I'm almost feeling guilty that you're giving me money, even though I'm providing value. So that's something that was an initial struggle. And, you know, to a certain degree, you're always still working on things, but I definitely have learned a lot in the past 5 years.
I mean, and that's something that I would say that a lot of people struggle with. I mean, that's why you see so many people starting nonprofits, really, is because they know that they want to, you know, do good things for other people, which is not bad, but at the same time, they don't know how to sustain themselves. And that was something that I've talked about in another podcast of mine, that, you know, instead of going for the nonprofit, why don't you go more towards the social enterprise, the social entrepreneurship sort of thing? And, you know, I'm starting to see a mindset change a little bit about that. But it's like, you know, from looking at more liberal-minded people that are all about social change, you're going to, you know, have that, I don't know if dichotomy is the right word that talks, but basically, that conflict of do you do something, you want to do something for the goodness of your heart, but if you mix money, it becomes like evil and you're trying to manipulate people, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so basically you're kind of saying that's what you were able to get over. And I mean, is there anything that kind of lingers in the back of your mind that might help someone else get over that initial struggle themselves?
Yeah. You know, there's two things that were coming to my mind as you were talking. So one is I just attended a conference here in San Diego called Thrive. Mm-hmm. It's 3 days and their tagline is Make Money Matter. And it's 100% basically what you described. So it's the idea that if I go big and let's say I'm able to make $1 million, I can now give away so much more money that makes such a bigger impact than I ever could make an equivalent impact of even just toiling away just in my own time. Or maybe even in a nonprofit. I'm not sure. I mean, which one of those are different, but you can have such a big impact by earning, you know, money. Of course, an ethical way. You have to be providing value, not like screwing people over. but to kind of change that conversation and to build into the foundation of your business the principles around let's find a way to give back as we're growing from day one, not wait till until when I get $1 million, then I'll give money. But no, let's start doing it right now. So I earn $100, I donate $10 to my favorite charity or whatever, and start now, start small, and use that also as a motivator to grow, because you know that as you grow, they're also going to benefit more. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that I thought about is, have you ever heard of Creative Live?
Sounds familiar.
So yeah, it's a online, you just go to creativelive.com and it's courses. So courses being taught. And if you catch them when they're live streaming, you can watch them for free. And if you miss it, you can buy it. And they're anywhere from $40 to $200, depending on the topic and the length and everything. But they have got some of the most amazing teachers on there. I mean, legit people in their fields. And there's this one course that I bought. I'm forgetting the name of it, but I could tell you if you want to put it in the show notes. It's by these two gals. One, her name is Sue Bryce. I remember her name. She's a photographer. And then the other one, I'm forgetting her name. But the two of them, they basically teach a course about your relationship with money. And they talk about this wheel. There's 8 different colors on the wheel. And it describes how different people treat their money and treat their relationship with money. And it just hit me. Like it resonated with me so much. And I was like, oh, that's me. Like, and the teachers were describing how they were in the past and what they've done to overcome it. So I feel like that is a really great course. I want to say it's probably $40 or $50, unless you catch it live. And if they're streaming it, you could watch it for free.
So as you've moved from business to business to business, the first one you started that was successful, and as you said, has your own team now taking care of it, which is great. That came from just essentially knowing that. I mean, let me guess, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but how you might have put that together was that you just basically, you know, this was something that you knew you could do coming out of an education field, right? And then as you got more referrals, maybe, then you started more or less bringing more people in to kind of do it, or was it another path?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. So I tried not to do much of the tutoring in the beginning just because I had been tutoring since I was in high school in the 90s and I just had finished teaching. So I wanted to really convert into a business person right away. Mm-hmm. So we hired tutors right away and started matching them up with clients immediately. Now, there were times when I did have to step in. You know, if we didn't have someone to fill or no one else could do pre-calculus or something like that, there are times when I would plug in because that's what you have to do. You have to make it work when you're an entrepreneur. Right. But I really did try to do more on the business side. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just what I knew. In my mind, it didn't matter what was trending. It didn't matter what people were making millions of dollars in. I just had to go with what I knew. Mm. That was education.
Cool. Cool. And it just more or less scaled naturally from there then.
Right.
Awesome. And so now you've done a number of other things that are actually mentioned on one of your websites, Copy That Pops. But now you are doing podcastteachers.com.
Right.
And kind of interesting. I mean, I know you have your own podcast. I mean, tell me a little bit about that first before we get into Podcast Teachers.
Okay, well, kind of the path or the story to Podcast Teachers will cover Copy the Pops on the way. So about 2.5 years ago, I started helping a friend who is the host of the Internet Marketing Association's podcast, which is called I Am a Leader. Mm-hmm. And so the host, his name is Dominic Sirianni, and he and I have been friends since I worked at University of Phoenix. So I actually met him there. And he has a full-time day job and was really busy. And he said, hey, you're really good at writing and you like social media. Would you listen to all my episodes when I'm done before they go live? And will you write up the show notes, write up tweets and change them for Facebook posts and make some images and do some blog articles so that we can really promote these shows? Because I just don't have the capacity to do it. And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. I want to learn more about that. So I started helping him maybe about two and a half years ago. I'm forgetting exactly when. And then about a year ago, we realized what we're doing together, his doing the audio editing side and my doing the content side, mm-hmm. is a great combination for other companies and other entrepreneurs.
Right.
So around this time last year, we decided to put together what's called Pod Tent Marketing. And so PodTent Marketing it helps mid-sized companies start their own podcast and then leverage those conversations as a part of their content marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. So we already have clients from that. And I recognize that in order to be as good as I could be, I would need to start my own podcast too. Because you really need to know from square one what it's like to be in the trenches and do what you're teaching people
right.
to do.
Right.
So I started my own podcast, which is called Copy That Pops. And I focus on applied psychology and copywriting tips to help entrepreneurs with their business and all the different ways that can be applied. And I thought for a while that maybe I wanted to do copywriting services as a part of that. But I realized what I really loved and what I really love teaching and explaining to people is everything about podcasting. So that is where I am now, is the PodTent Marketing, but we help more of the mid-sized companies. And that's why I didn't really mention it to you so much, because I figured your audience is more on the entrepreneurial side, which is mm-hmm. also where my heart is. Mm-hmm. And so a girlfriend of mine who's also in a mastermind with me, I met her on Facebook while I was living in Germany, but she lives in Arizona. I've also interviewed her on my podcast and she's interviewed me. She and I started Podcast Teachers mm-hmm. because we wanted to develop DIY tutorials and courses and coaching that was more catered to the entrepreneurial market, the audience crowd, because that's, you know, what we really identify with. So that's the long story that kind of covers all of that.
Gotcha. And so your mission then is just to help
with podcast teachers, again, differentiating from PodTent is the fact that with PodTent it was mid-sized, and now you're working with solopreneurs or people right. that are interested. Okay, cool.
Exactly.
So what are really five of the hurdles that you help typical creative solopreneurs deal with when they're starting their podcast?
Sure. So one thing is people really don't know where to start. There truly is a lot of great free content out there. And if you guys have any questions, I can shoot you off links to different sources. There's tons, including our own stuff. But knowing just where to start and kind of mapping out a path to where you want to go, that's one thing that we really help people figure out and talk out and map out. The second thing I would say is technology. So a lot of people get scared about the technology behind recording the audio, editing it, getting it onto the hosting platform, attaching it to your website so it shows up there, making sure it gets into iTunes and the other different audio platforms like Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, SoundCloud. So just the technology kind of behind all that, we definitely help people with. And then the third thing I would say is organization. So it's funny because I have my two real passions, I would say, especially revealed what I taught, was psychology and then math. So part of me is very people focused. Mm-hmm. And then part of me is also, I like numbers and clarity and details. So I have kind of that combination. So I feel like what we really are able to help people with is organization and clarity and saying, okay, let's make a step-by-step sequence. And here is a checklist and we're going to check that off. And so we know what's really going on. I hate attachments and I hate emails. So I try as much as we can to use tools like Asana or Google Drive and spreadsheets inside of there to be a bit more efficient with how we communicate and how we share files so that we're all not just spinning our wheels and burning a lot of time.
Yeah.
The fourth thing, a lot of people ask, well, how am I going to get guests to come on my show? Especially when I start out, no one's going to want to talk to me, which isn't true, but we do help them with, here's a template, an email template that you can use, and then you can adjust it for each person you send it to, but just something to get them started so they don't feel like they're just staring at a blank wall. And what are some other groups inside of Facebook or in LinkedIn that you could get involved with that are perfect for your niche to really start talking with other people who would be a great guest on your show if you're going to do interviews? Mm-hmm. And then the fifth thing is I would say we really try to help with ways to grow the podcast, to promote it, and to really take it and spread it all over the web, because not everyone listens to podcasts.
Right.
and not everyone is maybe an auditory learner. So maybe sometimes, or let's say you're at work and you can't have your headphones in or something, you just want to read something. So we could take that podcast and transcribe it, and now somebody could read it. Or maybe put out just the bullet points of what was covered, and now that's in your show notes. And so someone can say, oh, yeah, I feel like I want to dive in and listen to the whole thing based on that.
Yeah.
And take some quotes and put them on an image for Instagram and just kind of really let it spread wide so that more people can find you, your message.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the thing is that, you know, I, with my show notes, I cover pretty much all that except for do you still think that Instagram quotes are still the thing, or is that more like a 2015, early 2016 fad?
I mean, I still see a lot of engagement with it, and Instagram is an interesting platform because you're not allowed to link out inside of your individual posts. The only link that you can have that actually sends people off of Instagram is in your bio, and you can only have one that works.
Mm-hmm.
So Instagram is a unique place because I feel like if you put in investment to really build your brand and build relationships with people, they are going to take the time to click that link and go figure out more about you. But it does take consistency. It does take engagement. So, you know, if your target market isn't in Instagram, then hey, don't bother. But I do like quote images, especially what I do for my own show is I'll take really good quotes and I'll put the picture of the guest on there. So I'll have a quote and the picture of the guest and my logo with a URL to see where they can go.
Okay.
So it kind of makes it a little bit more dynamic and not just a plain quote. Also puts the person on there. And my psychological reasoning as well is that maybe the guest will feel more inclined to share it because they're like, oh, look, it's a picture of me on there too.
Right. Well, and that's the reason I do my cover art the same way for each one of my shows is because, and if you go to my podcast page, it's almost like going into like a CD. Back in the day when we had the CD stores and, you know, all the different people were on the front of their own CDs and all that sort of stuff. Yes, you know, I have it very uniform because I only have so much time to produce each one. But, you know, the thing is that it also kind of displays a little bit of like uniformity, which is kind of a branding thing, which you can tell they're all from the same source and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I would agree with you in the fact that people tend to connect more with that particular whatever if you use a visual of the person versus just something generic.
Right.
So, yeah, totally. So your podcast is Copy That Pop still?
Yes.
Okay. Give me like maybe three of your audience's favorite sessions. If you can, like maybe
different interviews.
Yeah. Just, you know, the top three interviews that kind of give a feel for your show.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't have the exact numbers prepared, but I know I can think of a couple. So far my biggest downloaded one is episode 20 with Heidi Kaufman. Mm-hmm. And we talk about subscription boxes. Mm. She has a company called The Hippie Hobby. And she didn't even plan to make it a business. It just kind of turned into that, where she invited friends over because she had some extra essential oils. Like those are really popular now.
Yeah.
I think she bought a bunch of essential oils to support a friend, and then she had like a house full of essential oils, and she's like, "What am I going to do with this?" So I think she invited people over, and they made like little different things with them, and it turned into a business idea because some people were like, oh, I couldn't make it to your party, but will you send me the pack of what you guys use? Because I want to make it too. And so we talked about subscription boxes and then also just her journey. And she's also tried a lot of different things. Used to work for Infusionsoft, which is a customer relationship management system.
Right.
So we talk a lot about that. And she and I have known each other for a while. So I think that some of the attraction of that show may have been we're just really comfortable with each other, and I didn't even like think of an agenda. We just really talked and just talked business. So people probably feel like a good fly on the wall for that one. Another one that people really say they like is episode, I think it's number 3, and I'm going to start pulling this up as I say it to you. I'll tell the topic while I'm trying to figure out the exact number, but it's just a solo episode where I talk about a psychology principle called future pacing. Mm. And so I talk about how to really get your customer starting to think about what it will really feel like, really visualize a goal end state that they desire, and then talk about how, well, your product or service is the perfect vehicle to get you from here to there. And yeah, it is episode 3. So if you go to copythatpops.com/003, you'll go to that one, and it's called Future Pacing, the Simple and Subtle Trick to Get Your Prospect on the Path to Yes. And then episode 20, so you do copythatpops.com/020 is the one with Heidi. Mm-hmm. And then a third one, you know what? I think I'm going to say this one hasn't aired yet, but I just recorded it yesterday, and it's coming out next week. So by the time this show goes live, it will be live. And that's with Brandon T. Adams, and he is a rock star. He's 26 years old, and he's from a small town in Iowa, and he is now called the king of crowdfunding. He's an entrepreneur. He's an inventor. He has his own TV reality show. He has three podcasts. He's just incredible all over the place. So I think that one is going to really blow up and be super popular. So you guys are hearing it first. Go check it out. And I think that's going to be episode 36. So it'd be copythatpops.com/036.
Awesome. Yeah. That's, you know, I got to admit that it's funny how you can like go through networking to get like different guests. Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, and I don't know exactly how you would have gotten him, because usually those people are so busy that they're only going to go with like the big, the big shows.
Yeah.
But you
I
know,
can tell you how I got him if you guys want to know.
Oh yeah, go for it.
All right. So yeah, he's big. He's out of my league where I am now. So I've known about him because one of my clients at PodTent Marketing, she met him through networking and interviewed him on her podcast. Mm-hmm. So I had kind of a loose connection in that way. But of course, I didn't want to just milk it immediately. Right, I mean, kind of knew him on the periphery. And then, then I also saw him on this viral video with Caleb Maddox. And Caleb Maddox is a 14-year-old entrepreneur who's ridiculous, like amazing, ridiculous. And so I was just like watching a bunch of his videos and they had interviewed each other. So that's kind of how I knew of Brandon to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then I started following him on Snapchat. He's really big on Snapchat, BT Adams 18, I think. And he started talking about how he was starting a mastermind accelerator program. Mm-hmm. And my client, Megan, also messaged me and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this accelerator, but it's not free, but it's with Brandon, who I told you about before. And I feel like maybe people are going to really take it seriously who are in the group. So it might be a really good opportunity, but I'm not really sure. And so I checked out the website and what he had on there. I was like, this is exactly what I need to up level where I want to go. Mm-hmm. And so I joined the mastermind. And as we record this, I'm actually halfway through it. And what I have done is I just decided to try to be the absolute best participant, the best student in his program, and add so much value and just show him what I can do, both for his own podcast and for other people maybe in the group and the network, just to really impress him, because then he's going to be like, oh, okay, I see that you're serious. I see that, you know, maybe we can work together on things. So that's how it really all started. And he agreed to do the podcast, but it's because I put in effort first.
Right, right. It doesn't come right away.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Cool.
And I built that relationship and that trust. I didn't just pitch him the minute I met him, hey, be on my podcast. You know, I waited like 4 weeks to really develop a relationship before I said, I would love to have you on too if you're available.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I recently back on 56 had Dane Maxwell on our show, and mm-hmm. how I stumbled into that one was just kind of through my co-host is Daniel Postma, which I knew Daniel was an interesting person because we were both in the foundation, and he's always been like really caring to other people. And you know, his story as a serialpreneur that was 20 years old last year of doing all different kinds of things himself. Really interesting story. And he just happened to be the when we were talking to him, Ginger and I, come to find out that he was the guy that actually interned for Dane. And then one time we were just talking, it's just like, you know, he basically says, hey, do you want to be on a chat with Dane and I? And I'm like, I suppose, because Dane wanted someone to kind of like listen to like the first rendition of his music. And which he's going into music career after having 16 successful businesses himself now. He's going, you know, that's going to be paying for his music career, and which he's going to do really well there. And anyway, I go into this little thing, listening to Dane and his first couple weeks of practicing, you know, his new music. And then it's like, somehow in the conversation, it was just like, you think he'd be interested in being on our podcast? And he's like, I don't know, ask him. And he's like, yeah, I could see myself doing that. How's Monday at time? And I'm like, that's normally when I record, but sure.
Yeah, but let's I'm gonna make it happen. Exactly.
So yeah, it's just funny how that sort of thing happens. But yeah,
I think that's a good takeaway for the audience. It's just put yourself out there, try to give value before asking for things. Really build relationships, because this is a marathon, not a sprint. So if you kind of just come out the door like, gimme, 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 you're just going to, for 95% of the time, people are just going to shut you down and probably not reopen that possibility. So, yeah, have some suaveness. It's like dating.
Right. Exactly. So we're actually in the last part of 2016 now, and you said that you are actually working on a book for the release fairly soon. Tell me a little about that.
So if I haven't overwhelmed you guys all with what I do already, I have now decided, so I mentioned that conference Thrive, and it was really inspirational, really motivational, and just feeling a lot of energy and drive coming out of it. And going into the conference, you know, I've thought about writing books, but I always thought, well, I'll do it later. And I had Brandon T. Adams, another guy that I really respect named Eric Yang, who is 21 years old and just incredible entrepreneur. And then also I asked a question of James Altucher, who's a big podcaster and blogger, on the mic at the event, and asked him for, you know, what advice he would give to entrepreneurs who want to increase their visibility and credibility. And so all three of them said to me, within 1 week, write a book. Mm. And I thought, all right, this is the universe or whatever telling me write a book. And I, you know, I already am strong at writing. So it's kind of like, why haven't I done it quite yet? So I decided to put the deadline of November 28th, which is Cyber Monday. And I thought that would be kind of a good date because a lot of people are online and shopping, and I'm going to release it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And to just give myself a short deadline and make it public. So I've been doing Facebook Lives. I'm setting up a Facebook event page where people can get sneak peeks of the book and behind the scenes. So I'm doing, you know, little Facebook Lives and video and images like, okay, here's the progress I made today. What do you guys think about this book cover? And I'm just going to go for it. And I don't know, like, I honestly, to people listening, I have no idea how to do it. My goal is to write and release it by that date and then also hit the bestseller list. And I'm not 100% sure how to get there, but I feel like no matter what happens, I'm going to learn so much, and it's going to be a cool experiment. So
cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I think that sounds like it should be a rather unique book, but at the same time, I mean, that's a great marketing strategy too. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. My topic is copywriting for podcasters, which is not, you know, I don't know if that'll ever hit the New York Times bestseller list, but I feel like it's such a great story too, if I'm able to pull it off, that that people would really resonate with and be excited to hear more about it.
Cool. Very niche. Very niche.
Yeah.
So last portion of the podcast is the rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. First one is, what are three of your top favorite books that you tell others about often? And I think I know what one of them already is.
Yeah. Yeah. So my number one book, without question, is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I tell everyone who even has half an interest in entrepreneurism about it. And I've bought and given it to a bunch of people as well. Because, you know, sometimes when you're a new entrepreneur, you're like, I don't want to spend money on anything. And if I get that sense and I feel like they really should read it, I'll just buy it and give it to them. Because I'm like, you have to read this book. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I definitely recommend, especially if somebody is, you know, just not aware of kind of the difference between the trade time for money versus create money-making businesses and investments. So those two are really big ones. You know, this one's a little bit out of left field. So it'll be maybe interesting. There's a book called The Evolution of Desire, and it's by Dr. David M. Buss. Hmm. So he is the premier researcher in evolutionary psychology. And this book is all about evolutionary psychology, specifically around mating strategies of different animals, but also of humans. And I find that beyond fascinating. So that is something else that I have gifted and recommended to people if they're interested in psychology, in understanding why men behave differently than women. There are biological reasons for that, and it's really fascinating. So that one's kind of a cool one.
Cool. What is something that you believed as a 20, or actually, let's make it a 30-year-old, and, you know, you believed then, but don't necessarily agree too much now with it and why.
All right. The first thing that comes to mind is, personally, I believed that I am not a good public speaker, and I never would be. And now I believe that I can be, and I'm working toward becoming that.
Hmm. Interesting. And why have you felt that that was something that you needed to work on? We'll say it that way.
Yeah. I feel like I am really great in small groups and one-on-one. I can build rapport really well. I have background in teaching, so I understand how to reach different people at different levels and different personalities. Mm-hmm. But I am just, I was, let's put it in past tense, terrified of the idea of quote unquote speaking to a large audience.
Right.
But I have seen as an entrepreneur, as a business person, that those who put themselves out there instantly gain more credibility, more authority, charge higher prices, are able to really grow and scale their business beyond that from people who aren't willing to step forward and be seen as a visible leader. Mm. I don't necessarily want to be on every stage across the world. That's not my personal goal, but I've in the past I've run away from it. I've like turned things down. No, I don't want to do that. And I'm now at the point where starting the podcast really helped me practice speaking in a more safe zone because I can edit it out. It's not live. So that was kind of a good practice step along mm-hmm. the way. And I feel like I'm getting stronger in being able to communicate verbally when on the spot, when I maybe don't know what the question's going to be. And I feel like that's helping me on that path. And I just want to be more visible so that I can really move my business and myself to the next level. And I think that's just a part of the path that needs to happen for me.
Hmm. Cool. And, you know, speaking just if people are listening and, you know, they want to become an expert in something, speaking, if it's the last mm-hmm. thing on your list, you know, there's five other ways of becoming an expert. And if you want to know more, look up Experts Academy by Brendon Burchard.
Yeah. He's a big one. He's a good one to follow. Mm-hmm.
For sure. So, what is one thing you believe all high school students must know?
That school and your current world right now is not the rest of your life. There's so much more. So if there's like cliques that are making fun of you and bullying you and putting you down, or people saying you can't do this or can't do that, and even if it's your parents, don't listen. Follow your path and seek out people. I feel like one good thing about the internet now is that anyone can find other groups of people that they really connect with, even if they're not in their school or their town, mm-hmm. whereas that wasn't possible before. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, and this is advice for anybody, is surround yourself with people who are going to make you better, push you in a good way, support you, encourage you, give you honest feedback, but not in a way to hurt you. And I wish that I even realized that more in high school myself.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of us do wish we learned that earlier on because, I mean, just society's kind of shaped in a way that's eventually kind of what happens to most people. It's just that you just are always trying to please people, and you don't realize that if you're lucky, you realize that you don't need to until much later, which is unfortunate. Right. So
right. And also don't be hard on yourself because it is a journey. It is a process. If it were easy, we'd all come out of the womb knowing all this stuff. So, you know, just go in knowing that you're going to have some pain, you're going to have some hurt, you're going to have some challenges, but it's all contributing to your growth. So in the end, it's all good, even if it hurts right now.
Right. Name one thing that costs under $100 that has changed your life.
You know what? Something just occurred to me actually this morning as I was getting ready. So earlier this year, I purchased a course. It was with Brian Harris. He does, his company's called Video Fruit, and he's got a program called the Rapid List Building. Rapid List Building, I think it's called. And I think it was $97. And I purchased that at the beginning of this year. And for me, that was a big deal, because before I was very like, I want to do everything free, DIY, bootstrap, everything. I'm smart. I can figure it out.
Right.
And I finally started investing in myself and not only doing things that were free. And it's actually that course is what led us to our first client for PodTent Marketing. And it's just also contributed to my working through my money issues, because I feel like I need to hold on to stuff. And now through that and then future things, I'm realizing, no, I need to let go, not be wasteful or ridiculous, but you need to put things back into the river so that it can flow and kind of keep going, not just like a stagnant lake that doesn't move. So I feel like that was something that for me in particular kind of helped dislodge me from a certain place I was in with the money mindset in particular.
I'm kind of surprised that a Brian Harris course would help you do that, because he's usually very, you know, he's very hands-on how to almost exactly the opposite of what you just described, because he's like how to do everything for relatively cheap and do it a smart way. And, you know, he's like, he's more tactical than Pat Flynn. So for you to describe,
well, that's probably why he got me, you know, like it was like a gateway drug where I was like, I totally identify that with that. And it's not too big of a course price that, okay, let's try it.
That's crazy. Yeah. He's, if you haven't heard of Brian Harris, he's actually well known for the first 10K subscribers, I think is his big course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I really like him.
Yeah, if you're looking to build your email list, he's the guy to go to, because he literally appeared out of nowhere, and it was just like, you know. So
actually, the first time I even heard about him was Pat Flynn's interview of him. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
With the product stuff, right?
It was incredible. I was like, who is this guy? And I need to go find out his stuff right now.
Yeah.
I was so impressed,
Yeah, he's cool. Last one. Is when you think of the word success, who comes to mind and why?
I think everyone and anyone is successful if they are pursuing what they want to pursue and enjoying the moment and sharing it with family and friends and new acquaintances. I don't know. I feel like we do have a culture of emphasizing so much about the money and the accolades and things, which are nice, and those could be some pieces of what you're shooting for. But I know for me, when I'm happiest in my life, and I think back to all the years, it's when I'm with a medium-sized group of friends that I just love, and we're like joking around and eating dinner and just hanging out. And it doesn't matter where in the world it is. That's when I'm the happiest. So I feel like keeping that in mind and really looking at when you're the happiest and realize that success, I think it just kind of paints a more realistic, achievable picture and lets you just kind of have some of that pressure off your shoulders to be hitting all these other markers, which you still can go for, but maybe the pressure's off a little bit more.
Right, right. Well, and truth be told, it's all about, you know, seeking personal happiness, right? So, as we're wrapping things up here, and this is how we always close out, is besides the questions, is to ask final action steps. And if someone was wanting to be more like Laura and be a more successful entrepreneur, what are four pointers that you'd be sure to give them if we were to kind of wrap up everything that we were talking about today?
Okay, yeah. So one thing I would say is to be open to learning and trying a lot of things. So kind of like we talked about with travel, being open to talking to different people, being open to hearing someone else's perspective, because they might have a completely different worldview or an experiences, and you can learn from that. So just being really open to trying things and learning. Because you don't know it all, and you're never going to know it all, so enjoy the process. The second thing I would say is to be more patient with yourself. And this is advice that I'm even continuing to try to take, because for me in particular, if you guys can resonate, I was good at school. So I got a lot of praise and accolades and checked all these boxes like, awesome, I'm good. And then I come out of that world and I'm starting a business and I make mistakes and I feel like I look dumb, or I feel embarrassed, or I feel ashamed to tell family and friends I'm not as far along as I thought I should be by this time. So I think being patient with yourself is a great thing, because it takes us time to learn and figure it out. You know, it took us 13 years or whatever it is to graduate with a GED. So it's going to take us more than a couple months to start a successful business. So just be more realistic and be patient with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing I would say is to start building your network before you need it. So for example, which I'm trying to launch this book right now, I know it's going to be far more successful now than it ever could have been 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, because I have done 5 years worth of networking and helping clients and coaching friends completely for free because they were stressed out and didn't know how to start a business. And I was like, well, let me tell you more.
Mm-hmm.
So I have so many people who are like, they know me, they trust me, they like me, and they feel like, oh, well, you've helped me in the past. I'd love to help out. So it's going to go even further than it ever could alone and before I had a network. So I think that just really building strong relationships with people and staying in touch and making that effort to continue it throughout the years is beneficial for you, and it is for them. It's for everybody. And then the fourth thing I would say is you really are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And that number could be 3 to 10, whatever, let's say 5. So take a hard look at who you're talking to, who's giving you advice, whose advice are you listening to and letting it impact you, because it is rubbing off whether you realize it or not. And you're going to go so much farther and do so much better if you're surrounding yourself with other people who have similar achievement goals, similar positive attitudes, similar, you know, strong outlooks on life and possibility and abundance. So those would be my 4.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you for sharing those. So if people are wanting to actually get help with any of that, where can they find you for additional help?
Yeah. So I will take a page out of Brandon T. Adams' book and direct people to Snapchat. So my handle there is LSP_S. It's kind of my initials, LSP_S. And that's the same handle that I've got on Twitter and Instagram if you want to find me there. But if you find me on Snapchat and send me a little message, let me know what you thought about the interview. That would be really awesome. And I'll direct you over to the Facebook event page that we're creating around the book if you want to get a free copy, sneak peek, and even have your voice heard on what cover I should choose and what title it will be and all that kind of fun stuff. So that would be really cool if you want to jump in there.
Awesome. Well, Laura, thank you again for being on the show today, and it was truly a pleasure.
Mine too. Thank you so much for having me.
And there you have it. You know, Laura's a huge wealth of information, and if you're needing very specific help with starting your own show, then heading over to Podcast Teachers might actually just be in your new future. And if you want to do that or just connect with her about something more general, you can do that by going to the show notes via newinceptions.com/63. Show note extras for this session include a few things. I have a video of Laura talking about her upcoming book that she was talking about in this interview, and there's also a video playlist of hers doing analysis on different landing pages. And finally, I'm going to be giving those links to the interviews that she mentioned were her top episodes of the Copy That Pops show. So again, thank you guys for joining us today. And as usual, if you've been listening to the show for a while, let us know what you think. Leave a review on iTunes or send us your emails and suggestions at heyguys@newinceptions.com. Also, don't forget to say hi to us on Twitter and Facebook. You can send me a tweet via JC_Preston. In next week's chat, I talk with Deborah Jason. Like Eric Decker's Back in Session 37, Deborah is a writer turned online marketer herself, but where she got her writing chops was actually in sales copy. So she's definitely a natural at making great copy. And in this upcoming chat, we talked to her about the days before internet marketing, including her time as a catalog copywriter, what prompted her to start her company, The Right Direction, in 1989, and also a little bit about the experience of writing her award-winning book, Millionaire Marketing on a Shoestring Budget. And actually, Joel Kumm did the foreword of that, so definitely want to check that out. So if you're looking to get some help in your marketing, the next week's session is for you. And again, that's it for session 63. Thanks again for joining Laura and myself today. And remember, and whatever you're doing, dig in, have fun, and take care. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.